Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Do we have the show opener?
Yes.
Okay. And I didn't know if I was supposed to talk.
Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Help.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
All right. Just wanted to make sure.
I'm sorry.
Pete McMurray in for Lou Manfredini. Thank you, Lynn. Hi, Joe Brand. How you doing? Nice haircut.
Hi, Pete. Thank you. So nice of you to notice.
I was at the Cub game yesterday. Wow.
Ooh. Sorry about that.
Yeah, the double play was the end of the season when the bases loaded.
Yeah, it's hard to not think that way. It really is.
Rough. By the way, House Smarts Radio this hour is brought to you by Ace Hardware. It's also brought to you by Lindman Chimney and Fireplace and our good friends at Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, where Lou has lost, what, 38 pounds? 38 so far?
And counting.
Man, that's impressive. And just to let everybody know, I know people are a little nervous right now because we're getting text messages. Pete McMurray knows nothing. What's going on? That's why we have the expert Mike Holmes in. It's good to see you again.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I just sent my wife a text. I'm like, Sarah, what do we need fixed at our house? Because I'm going to spend the next 3 hours with Mike, and he's going to answer all my questions. Give your background for everybody.
I'm a certified remodeler. I've been in business since 87. And we work primarily out in the western suburbs. And that's it. You know, this is what we do.
This is what you do, and you've done this all your life. Yes, yes.
So,
if people have a question, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Mike will try to answer it. Also, our text line, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk plumbing today. We're going to talk about furnaces today. What are people working on this fall? Is it, you know, when the furnace turns over, is that one of the things?
Well, obviously, as the weather changes, you got to go through your cycles. You check your furnaces and check your downspouts and gutters and the outside of your house. Make sure everything's intact, you know, so you don't have any issues come wintertime. You know, it never fails. It's the coldest days when your furnace goes out, so you want to make sure you have somebody come out and check it.
Yep.
Wait too long, it's harder to get somebody to come out and service it, so the sooner the better. But, yeah, it's seasonal stuff. As for regular you know, what are people doing? Still, bathrooms tend to be a lot right now.
Bathrooms and kitchens,
yeah.
Right?
But those are those key things. You use those every day. They get a lot of abuse. And, you know, you want to have them looking nice for the holidays because those are coming up. So that's the
Boy, I didn't even think about that, you know. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, Halloween's right around the corner. Next thing you know, it's going to be Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
You ready to take some phone calls?
We're ready to take some calls.
All right. Let's go to Brian. He's our first caller. Brian, you're on with Mike Holmes. By the way, Mike's business, creativecarpentry.net is your website, Mike. Is that right?
That's
creativecarpentry.net. So he is legit, folks. All right. Brian, what's your question for Mike? Go ahead. Brian, you with me?
Brian.
Okay. All right.
We lost Brian.
I hear something. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead, bud. What's your question?
I'd like to convert a garage into living space to concrete floor.
Okay.
And I'm looking for, you know, kind of a recipe of how to do that.
It's a attached garage?
I put in a subfloor. Yeah, it's an attached garage, and I'm mostly concerned about the HVAC component.
Okay. Well, there's a couple things, obviously, you're going to have to consider. Insulation is going to be one of them. Not all garages are going to have that, so you want to make sure you have your insulation work in there. And you're going to have a curb around that garage. 99% of the time there's a curb. It's a gas oil curb. So you're going to have to address that. Sometimes that can help you if you want to put in what they call sleepers. That's going to be framing on your floor for floor joists, but they don't have to necessarily be structural because they can sit right on that slab. So you can go across that, which gives you the opportunity to do some more insulating, and it might level out your floor because right now you probably step out of your house and into your garage, you go down a step.
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. So that you can help with that. Does your garage have a floor drain in it?
It does.
Okay. That's going to be something that you need to address because you don't want to bury that because it probably has a trap in there so that you can keep the sewer gases or wherever that drains to isolated. So you probably need to talk to a plumber and see what he recommends, with it, whether they can convert that somehow or just cap it off. You don't want to have that buried under the floor. If the water starts to evaporate and then you have a dry trap, you're going to have sewer gases coming out. So there's a few things you're going to need to look into. It's hard to do it all on the radio show, but...
Wow, that's a lot of work just for a man cave.
Yeah. Well, this is a high-end man cave.
Yes.
Now. Keep that in mind. He's got heat. He's got flooring.
Right. Wow. Thanks, Kevin. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. I mean, that is a lot of work to convert a garage.
And
I forgot about the drain.
Issues, yeah. You have the HVAC, which you may be able to bring in from your existing, but it, depending on how it's laid out, you may have to put something different, do a supplemental heat, and maybe do electric or something like that.
You thought he was just going to roll out some carpeting and put a couch in there. Man.
That would be if you just kept it as a garage.
House Smarts Radio, 312-981-7200, our phone number, also our text line. Mike Holmes is here. He'll answer your questions. Quick break, and we'll be back with more calls next at 720 WGN.
Now back to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
All right, Pete McMurray in for Lou Manfredini. Mike Holmes is here from creativecarpentry.net. A lot of people are going to be working this morning, so if they have a question, you're the expert. You know everything about everything.
Well, let's hope so. We'll do our best.
All right, let's go to Brian. Brian, what is your question for Mike?
Hello. My question is about soffit and fascia. I'm looking to have it replaced. I currently have a wood soffit, and one company said that they would put the vinyl soffit over the wood. The other company said they would take the wood out and just put in the vinyl soffit. Is there one way better than the other?
A couple things to consider, the venting, because you have to vent your attic. Right now with the wood, you have like little screens or little aluminum vent kind of things around the soffit.
Yeah, I have a vent that goes down the middle of center of the soffit, the length of the house. Yeah.
So it's a linear one. Okay.
Yeah.
The main thing is that you have to make sure that that is all kept open. Sometimes companies will come in, they'll put it over that existing wood, and they'll not line up the vents with the new material to the old soffit so that you're not getting the proper airflow. So that's really the key. The screening that's in there right now, if it's starting to get really clogged up, if you look up there and it's like almost lint built up in there, you'd want to clean that before they cover it. As for whether one's better than the other, I would say not. It's just making sure that you have that airflow because that's the critical part. Otherwise, you start having issues in the attic.
Okay, and one other quick question. In terms of the siding, a company is showing me the siding with the foam insulation
back.
Is that really better than the other type?
Hey, any insulation that you can add to your home is good, especially in Chicago. So yeah, if you can have that, and it's not a cost that affects your whether you're going to do it or not, if you're willing to pay it, I'd say go for it because it can't hurt.
All right, great. Okay. All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. I have no idea what you two were just talking about. What is
Neither
it? What's
I.
a soffit?
Soffit is that horizontal portion between your gutter and your house, you know, up at the roof line.
Yep, okay.
So, and there's vents that go around that, and you need that vent. It brings cold air into your attic, and then it'll vent out the top, which you'll have a secondary vent, which is usually along the ridge, or you'll see those big mushroom caps on your roof.
Yep.
So it's just a thermal pull, and as the heat rises, it exits the top of the roof, but it sucks in through those soffits, and that helps keep your attic dry and
Jeez.
The temperatures balanced.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing when I'm in here with you. I feel like I need to go back home and work on everything.
I get that a lot.
Right.
You're trying to help out, but sometimes it's not what they want to hear.
What's the biggest mistake people make? Is it electrical? They're not doing it right? when they work on their house?
When you say, like, do-it-yourselfers?
Yes. Maybe it's, electrical.
Those are the two major things. Okay. Because those can cause a lot of damage. You know, you can do a fire or you can flood your house.
Right.
So if you don't know what you're doing, don't do it. Don't say, oh, I saw this on YouTube and I think I can do this.
God, everybody does that. Oh, they pull up YouTube. Oh, I can do this myself.
Yeah, sometimes it's good because it gives them some knowledge, but sometimes it's bad. Decades ago, we did a home improvement show on Discovery Channel, and one of the things that we always specified was to know your limitations. You know, you can do these. We think this is something an average homeowner can do. We don't think so. And
right.
And I think that's important to know your limitations.
Oh, I can't do anything. No. I know my limitations. And by the way, do you want to introduce your wife over here? You brought your wife in.
You know, I'm always talking about L.A. You know, I always give her little messages when I'm on the air.
Uh-huh.
And today I dragged her butt down here. She's with us today. And she'll probably
your mic. Can you say hi? Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
There it is. I got our mic working, too.
All right.
L.A., you're beautiful, by the way, and you know your stuff. You know how to, carpentry and things like that, right?
No, I call Mike.
She always throws it back to me, but she is quite talented, and I've put her to work. I've had her cutting granite out from big slabs down to little pieces. She's got some guns on her. She's not afraid to work. So,
is there anything he can't do?
Let's not even go there.
She was pulling out a list. Hold on. Yeah.
Are you getting me in trouble, Pete?
He can't finish any project at our house.
Well, isn't that the case usually? Well, you start something and it just keeps going and going.
Well, in my defense, I'm in the middle of one project and she's complaining about another one, so I have to jump to that. So I have that going for me, that it's partly her fault.
What are you guys working on right now at your house?
We've been working on our kitchen for quite a while. I'm down to just a little bit of trim, and I can't get it finished.
Everything is 99% done. Our railing, our kitchen, our wine room. He did build me an awesome greenhouse.
Really?
See, it's one project after another.
Nice. Well, of course.
And the greenhouse started just a greenhouse. Then it ended up had to have some lighting in it.
Oh, yeah.
Then it had to have some air circulation.
Oh, yeah. You
in
have
it,
to have air circulation.
And water filtration system.
You need the water.
See?
You need all that.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
Mike Holmes is here. If you have a question for Mike, 312-981-7200. Quick break. We'll check news and take some more calls. It's House Smarts Radio. Lou is on vacation. Pete McMurray on 720.
Now back to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
All right, Pete McMurray in for Lou Manfredini. Mike Holmes is here from creativecarpentry.net, and his wife is riding shotgun. L.A. is here showing me all the projects that you need to work on today, Mike.
The list is endless.
I had a huge problem this week. My sump pump exploded. Well, it didn't blow up, but I like to tell people that.
Exploded,
it just blew up. I called up J&S Plumbing. Excuse me. I called up J&S Plumbing, and we have the owner on the phone with us, John Romano. John, the number one question I get this week is, didn't you know it was time to change your sump pump? And I'm like, how do you know? How do you know, John?
I don't know. Well, you should probably test it every once in a while, maybe every few months, just to verify that it's working. You know, move the float switch or dump some water in the pit, test it out, make sure that it operates. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
Good to be with you.
Thanks for coming on. And I guess a sump pump, you change it how many years? Every 6-7 years?
That sounds about right. I mean, honestly, it depends on the usage and what type of water table you have at your home, how often it's being used. But I would say 6-7 years is probably a pretty average life expectancy for a pump.
Mike,
if you get that far with it and it hasn't gone bad yet, you should probably just go ahead and replace it anyway.
Right. Mike is shaking his head right
Everything
now.
Everything he's saying, absolutely true. You know, and you got to maintain them. You got to check them, like he's saying. So
even if it's perfectly normal and everything's fine after 7 years, you're hedging your bets at that point, John.
Yeah, that's my recommendation. I would be safe than sorry. I mean, you want your basement to be dry. Bottom line.
Okay.
And well, always to have the backup pump.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was my next question. I know, because my wife reminds me, at our old house, we had a backup, and this one, I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it.
Yeah. And you'll get to it the day after your basement floods.
Yes. Well, yes.
Unfortunately,
yes.
That's true.
But I just wanted to say thank you. You guys were very quick, and you made it happen right away, and it was just perfect.
Thank you for saying so. Appreciate that.
And I'll talk to you soon, okay, John?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Yep, take care.
John Romano at J&S Plumbing. I mean, they came out quick and changed it, and I got to get a backup. That's my next thing.
You really do. At least if you have a backup, if your main pump fails, you'll have something to take it out the water until you can get that pump replaced.
Right.
But he's absolutely right. You know, your water, depending on where your water table is, there's always water underground. Depending on how close it is to the bottom of your basement, your pump could run like every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I had one project. We had three sump pump wells in a basement. And at any given point, one of those pumps was running. That water table was right underneath their basement.
Oh, my gosh.
So
wow.
That means it's running all the time. You're using it up.
Yeah. Do you have a backup pump?
I do not, but I don't have a basement. I have a crawl
Look
space.
Look at it, your wife's like, but do we need one?
You know what?
We need it.
And she's right, but she didn't put it on the list. So I'm finishing the stuff on the list first.
All right, let's go to Jeff in St. Charles. Jeff, what's your question for Mike Holmes, the owner of CreativeCarpentry.net? Go ahead.
Yes, I got to replace my gutters, and I got about 400 linear feet, and wondering the cost on that. And also, we're in a heavily wooded area.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of gutter cover would you recommend without mentioning any names?
Well, the one thing I find is, at least with some of these gutter protectors, let's call them, because you don't want to use other words that reflect a brand. So depending on the kind of trees you have will make a big difference. If you have that tree that has the whirly birds, you know, the
yep.
seeds that come down like helicopters.
Yep. We got maple and oak. Okay. Yes, we got both of them.
Those, I find if the holes are too big, those will stick in there and they'll just almost look like a crop
right.
going across. So you don't want too big of a hole where that's going to hold those leaves or those seeds. You also do need to clean them. I know there's one that says it's self-cleaning, blah, 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 but you have to keep the debris. I've seen where just branches, especially if it's a smaller leaf, will line up right in front of the gutters if they have those gutter protectors over them. So it's not my specialty, so I would talk to whoever you're dealing with and ask them, the kind of trees I have, is this going to be an issue? You know, will you stand behind if this thing clogs on me? But there's a plethora of different companies out there, and they all state that theirs works. It's really kind of depends on the situation, you know, on the type
okay.
of trees.
And I was wondering if the ones with the holes are better than the ones that are rounded where the water
that's the one
over.
I'm saying the one that's rounded, they won't catch the leaves and clog it up that way. But I've seen where they make a dam between the gutter and the roof because of the shape
sure.
of it. If there's not enough water flow, the leaves and the branches stop just in front
oh,
of it
okay.
and then it dries and then you'll get some more and it dries
right.
and it starts creating a dam in front of it. Now that's going to depend on the pitch of your roof and things like that too, but those are the things that I look at. I'm a little odd that way. I look at things a little differently and that's my concern.
Understatement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, dear.
Does that make sense,
well,
Jeff?
Great. That answers all my questions, and one final parting note is go Bears.
Go Bears, you're right, go Bears. Thank you, Jeff in St. Charles. Lou mentioned something, I want to say it was last week or the week before, about like a sponge in your gutter. There's
yeah,
something they, you can buy, do those work?
Yeah, well, they work, but you have to take those out and clean them occasionally.
Right.
They're not like just put them in and forget it. It is like a sponge, and it'll collect the dirt and the granulars from your shingle. And occasionally, you got to take those out and hose them down, clean
okay.
them all out, and put them back in. But
Boy.
It's like a big wedge of foam.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Betty, you're on with Mike Holmes. Go ahead. What's your question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have rust marks on our concrete front porch.
Okay.
It's been power washed, and that didn't seem to touch it. How do I get them off?
Have you tried like CLR? Or?
No, I was wondering if maybe you'd suggest that.
I think I
that.
Would try that first. Keep in mind, concrete's porous, so if you're using a power washer, you're kind of cleaning the top of it. And the rust is kind of embedded in. So I would try something like CLR or maybe Lime Away, one of those kind of products, and see if that will lift it out. I'd pour it on there and kind of let it sit a little bit and see what happens. Okay. That would be my first. Otherwise, you may want to try bleaching it out. There's concrete bleaches that you can put on there.
Really?
But I would try the CLR first. You'd be surprised how well some of that stuff works.
Does she have to test it on an area just in case?
It probably wouldn't hurt because it might discolor, you know, where you're not going to have an even color across your concrete, and you may have to do the whole thing, but there are concrete cleaners that will work. But I go the simple, cost effective way first, which would be CLR.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thanks, right. Betty. You can use CLR for everything.
It's a great product. It really does work. So
yeah, I feel like you can use it. I think Lou. Did I use CLR in my dishwasher, maybe?
I think he suggested that. Nice bright
Don't do that.
I was just kidding.
Mike Holmes is here. Lou is on vacation. Pete McMurray in today. CreativeCarpentry.net is his website if you want to check it out. We'll take some more calls coming up next on 720 WGN. WGN. It is House Smarts Radio. Pete McMurray in for Lou Mandini. Manfredini. Our expert Mike Holmes is here from creativecarpentry.net. So if you have a question, we do have an expert. And let's go to Lisa in Chicago. Lisa, what's your question for Mike? Lisa?
Hi, Mike. Good morning. I'm sorry, I took you off speaker.
That's okay.
Good morning, you guys and wife. I am calling because I am getting estimates for a roof. So we need a new roof on the house. And one company is stating they use synthetic underlayment, which brings the estimate a couple thousand dollars more. Mm-hmm. The other company states they use felt. And I'm wondering, is the synthetic better, and should I just go for that? Or
The felt is the standard in the industry, tried and true kind of thing. But the synthetic is becoming more and more popular. It's a stronger product. It's lighter. The main thing I think that makes it better is it doesn't rot. If you pull off a roof that's been on for a long period of time, you'll find that the felt is starting to deteriorate and break down.
Okay.
So the synthetic doesn't do that. So it does have a longevity to it. Excuse me. I guess the big question would be how long you plan on staying in the home. If you're planning on moving out in the next 10 years, it's probably not a big issue. If you're going to stay there for a longer term, it might be worth the money. So.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to Larry and Bartlett. Larry, what is your question for Mike Holmes?
Hey, good morning, Pete and Mike. Mike, this is Bartlett. You fixed that water leak on my old deck and concrete a long couple years ago.
How about
that?
Last from the past, yes. How are you doing?
And
LA is here, too.
Mike, when we remodeled our kitchen, we had all new cabinets put in with upper and lower LED lighting.
Yes.
The only difference in the size is that the upper has some lighting on top that the bottom doesn't have. When I turn on the upper lights, they just come on wherever I have the level switch set. Mm-hmm. When I turn on the lower cabinet lights, regardless of the position of the brightness, and I'm sorry, I just had dental surgery. I can't talk well.
Good excuse.
When the lower lights come on, there is this incredible brilliant flash. It's almost like I'm looking at the sun for a second, and then it goes to where I want the light to be set. And if the house burns down, my wife will probably be very mad at me.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there's something I should do to look at that, or I've tried calling the electrician three times, and they've never returned my call.
Is it the same type of lighting on the top and bottom? Is it LED?
It's the same strip that he put on.
Okay.
And the top and the bottom each have their own transformer that's hidden behind the crown molding on top of the counter.
Okay. My guess, just with what you're saying, is that dimmer switch is probably failing. If you've got the identical system, top and bottom, and one's reacting one way and one's reacting the other, my guess would be it's that dimmer switch. Maybe it just needs a new dimmer switch put on there.
Okay. It's paddle switch with a dimmer, and I guess there's a bunch of them. Are those? you know, part of me wants to say I'll fix it myself.
Well, you have to use
part
the
of me
right
says,
type.
Wait a minute, I just paid a whole lot of money for this kitchen. Should I call the electrician or should I call my general?
I would, well, if the electrician was hired through the general?
Yes.
Call the general. That's who you have your contract with, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Call him. It's his problem.
Okay, so, I will give him a call right away. Quick. And I think I sent you a picture of that stamped concrete patio I put in.
Yes, you did. It looked great. It did.
And I'm the one that reminds him to look at it.
Best move I ever made. Thank you much.
Thank you, Larry. That's great that somebody called in that you did work at his house.
He doesn't remember me. I was on that job.
Yeah. Were you really?
It was a long time ago. He was in a pinch, and he had a water issue, and nobody could find it, so he hired us. We went. It's out of our area, so we said, okay, we'll do it, and we went out there, and we fixed the problem, and then he wanted some more work done, and it's like it's really kind of a long haul for us.
Right,
so
you're not making any money.
So we referred him to another company. I don't know if they did it or somebody else did the work.
Okay.
But very nice guy. He was awesome to work for.
He was.
So, L.A., you're on site and you're doing the actual work.
When he can use me, yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm telling you, we did a bathroom with marble walls, all marble walls, floor to ceiling. And I had her cutting the marble panels, and then we'd carry them up this staircase, which was multiple turns.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, she's a workhorse. She's not just pretty. She's got some brawn.
That's impressive. I like that. Stanley's on from Homer Glen. Stanley, what is your question for Mike Holmes?
Frogs. Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling, Stanley.
I'm going to be knee deep in trouble.
I believe, an infestation of frogs in my sump pit.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right.
Now, I cannot imagine how they got in there. You know, is it common practice to put the drain tile on the inside of the footing of the house or the outside perimeter or both?
It's typically done on the outside when it's new construction, but there are companies, if you know, some homes were built without drain tile, and there's companies who will come in or a damaged drain tile, they'll come in and they'll break out the concrete around the basement floor, and they'll put a drain tile inside. But normally it's on the outside of the footing.
Okay, now, well, it's a quality home, I guess.
Okay.
I would define it as. And I can't fathom how they got in there.
Well, here's my thought is, because you're talking about your ejector pit, correct? Your sump pump.
The sump pit.
Yes. So you have a window well. In those window wells, there are drains. You may not see them because they have gravel covering it, but there's
a
drain.
Got it. Okay.
And
all right.
If that cover came off that drain, which is like a little grill, you could have a frog come in there. And you always have frogs in your wells. You
really
always see those. Frogs, toads, mice. So my guess is one of those window wells had a cap on the drain. It came off. They got in that way. And that's just a big subway tunnel to them. They just can go right through, and it ends up in your pit.
And it could very well explain it. Like, we do have the window wells, and we do have covers on them, but I've never messed with them.
Yeah.
Now, the only one is where that was the only place that the window well was messed with was escape window.
Well, that would be the first thing to check because that's an open tunnel right there.
Exactly. Yep.
There it is.
Never thought of that.
Thank you, Stanley.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, I say this to Lou every week because I'm a huge fan of this show. It's really amazing how you guys can answer any question.
Well,
right off the top of your head.
We can answer any questions. It's just sometimes, you know, your brain gets thinking and you come up with it.
I know you do this for
a living.
I've
never had a frog question.
Really?
All the years doing this. And I've been doing
so
this
funny.
For a long time.
Frogs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and you knew exactly what he was talking about.
We get ants. We get all that. I've never had a frog one. I'm going to have to tell Jim about this. He's probably listening.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also, our text line. Mike Holmes is here from creativecarpentry.net. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll check news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom up next on 720 WGN.
Hot child in the city. Hot child in the city.
720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Lou Manfredini. Don't fret. We have an expert here. Mike Holmes is here from creativecarpentry.net. 312-981-7200 is our phone number if you have a question for Mike. But earlier today, we were talking about it's fall, so that means you need to check your furnace. So let's bring on the expert right now. He is the owner of American Weather Makers. It's owner Dick Hochschild. Dick, how are you?
Good, Pete. And hi to Pete and Mike.
How are you doing?
And just for the record, Dick, the American Weather Makers, home of the 60 Minute Men, you've sent your guys over to check my furnace. And so far, so good. Is that right?
He's checking his records.
Well, no, that's fine. I didn't actually understand that you were asking me if we'd been to your house yet. But
not this fall, but you have. Well, you came in the spring, but now is the time where people need to check their furnaces, right, Dick?
People really should be checking their furnace because for safety reasons, for efficiency reasons, to avoid costly breakdowns during the winter and everything. So there's a lot of things people should check. We want to make sure your draft is fine from your furnace up your chimney, and make sure that the heat exchanger, which is the major part of the furnace, is free of defects. Keeps the air in the house separate from the combustion air that should be going up the chimney. So we inspect all those along with gas pressure and all the safety is and temperature rises and all that. There's a whole checklist of things that we go through when we come to your house.
Mike, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, well, the things he's talking about are right. Absolutely true. You know, you can have some little problems that you're not aware of that can be costly or health issues. You know, you can hurt yourself.
Right. So. That's why you call in the experts.
Yeah.
Dick, how often should people change their filters? Is it once a month, once a quarter? What would you recommend?
Well, it all depends on everything, but it depends on, I think, on whether you have pets in the house and what type of a filter you're using and everything. I recommend that you be real careful buying the 1-inch pleated filters because they tend to plug up real quickly. They restrict the airflow. So if you are using a 1-inch filter, then you should change it more often, maybe even monthly if you have pets and what have you. But if you have like a normal filter that you can see like a little bit of daylight through it and everything, then you probably could change it just once during the season, and at the beginning of the season, of course, yeah.
Wow, I had no idea. So the thicker ones you have to change more often, and the ones that you can kind of see through.
Yeah, they actually really plug up. I mean, they're sold because, people think that they remove things that people are allergic to. But they really plug up very quickly. And that's actually the number one cause of no heat problems and no cooling problems is the 1-inch filter, 1-inch pleated filters. You know, so.
Wow. I had no idea. Well, that's good to know. And for people that, the reason we bring this up is because I know the newer furnaces, or if you have a Nest, it tells you, hey, it's time to change your filter. Because I have the Nest at my house, and every once in a while I'll say, time to change your filter. And I'm like, okay, all right. But I just do it monthly, just regardless, because filters aren't that much money, and why wouldn't you just change them?
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Your filter or your furnace is going to run more efficiently the cleaner that filter is, too. So
right.
It's doing less work.
So I feel like I need to get the filters that I can see through. I didn't know that. See, I learn something new every day. This is great.
Well, that or April Air, for instance, makes a real good media air cleaner.
Okay.
It doesn't restrict the airflow. It picks up particles that are a tenth of a micron or larger, which are the things that most people are allergic to. But that's what we would recommend for people that have allergies rather than the 1-inch pleated filter.
Good to know. And Dick, by the way, your wife Elizabeth is a star now on the commercials. I think she's a bigger star than you now.
She certainly is.
Those are great commercials.
Well, thanks. We like the husband-wife interchange. And,
right.
And yes. Try to put some scenarios where, a typical husband and wife might, actually have a conversation like that. So.
Right. Mike's wife is here, L.A., and she's like, yeah. Uh-huh.
We like that interchange, too. Although I'm wondering, when's the last time you changed our filter?
I did.
Was it on the list?
It was on my list, yeah. That's one thing I do regularly. So
change the filter.
But we have pets,
okay.
So that's an issue. And we have multiple furnaces, so it's like I got to make sure everything's working right.
Right.
We have problems in our temperatures. So.
Well, I got a guy for you. He's on the phone.
Yeah.
American Weather Makers.
Yeah. It's an important thing. We were talking earlier about important things. That's one of those things you really need to maintain.
Love it.
You really do. And also, a lot of people forget their water heater, but, you know, that's got a burner, too. It operates 365 days a year, and that should be cleaned periodically. Most people probably have never had their water heater professionally, you know, cleaned.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Do I really need to do that? Well, I know nothing,
all
guys.
All those minerals in the water, yeah. They all start collecting in the bottom of that tank, so okay. That starts breaking down its efficiency. So, yeah. Everything has to be maintained. Anything that says maintenance-free, they lie. There's some kind of maintenance to everything.
Dick, I'm assuming you do water heaters too, right?
We do water heaters also, yes.
Wow, that's good to know. Okay. Well, when you send your guys out, I'm going to have them check my water heater.
That sounds great.
Dick Hochschild. Dick, great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, guys.
You're the best. There he is. He's the owner of American Weathermaker Heating and Cooling, home of the 60-Minute Men. And by the way, we're going to give away a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to do that right now.
You can tell when you have to turn on your furnace.
Right? Yes. You know what? Let's go to, hold on a second. Let me grab this. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, we're going to set you up with a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. How about that?
I love that.
And we can call her for the weather, right?
Yes, we can.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, we just had the owner on, Dick Hochschild. What's your question for Mike Holmes?
Thank you.
What's your question?
Okay, so I took the carpet off my stairs. I'm in a townhouse. I sanded the wood down. I stained it really nice. Said 8 hours to dry. I came home 12 hours later, like at 1 in the morning, not drunk. And I stepped on the stair with my flip-flop, and it wasn't dry. And in the middle is an impression of my foot.
Oh, now,
okay.
Yeah. Does that whole thing have to be taken all the way down, or can I just do this little impression?
You know, it kind of depends on what caused it. But my guess is you're going to have to redo that one. Now, this is just the stain. You hadn't put on a clear coat yet?
Correct.
Okay. Because it may be, you know, especially because you said a flip-flop,
yes.
You may have some material. When you have a plastic or rubbers against woods like that, they can they leave like a chemical, but I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Oh.
But it'll change the product a little bit. So what I would say is try doing a wipe down of the whole step first, just with like a tack cloth. You know what a tack cloth
is? Okay. Yes, I do. I use one.
Do that, wipe the whole thing down, and then just try doing a light stain wipe real quick and see if it eliminates that impression. If it doesn't, then you're probably going to have to strip it down again. Yeah.
Okay.
Wood being porous, it's going to take that and just suck in, you know, from your flip-flop, and that might be a problem. I've had weird
it's
things
funny,
like that
but
before.
It's not. It's a bummer. We've all been there.
Yeah. But it is surprising that after 12 hours it wasn't set yet. But
I know it.
You know, was it an oil-based stain?
No. Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes.
Because they do tend to take longer. There's some water-based out there now. But still, it should have been dry by that point, unless it's just the humidity. You know,
yeah, well, it wasn't all the stairs. It turned out to be just that stair.
Oh, just
but
that
now
one.
You, I have another question. What do you think is better, water-based or oil-based stain?
Well, I prefer oil-based, but you're going to start seeing a lack of because they're trying to eliminate all the oil-based products. Mm-hmm. So eventually you're not going to have any. That's why you're seeing all these latex paints and stuff. It's harder to get oil-based products, and eventually they're going to be phased out.
I see. Okay. All right. So there won't be a choice even.
Yeah.
But you're saying it was just a one step. I wonder if there's just something on the bottom of your flip-flop that transferred.
Yeah, you know, I just came in from the outside, and just that first step, you know, I see all the squigglies from the bottom of my flip-flop.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You may have transferred something from your flip-flop and then right to the woods, so you may have to just redo that one.
Good luck, Kathy.
All right.
Don't hang up. We're going to set you up with the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers, okay? 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We have one line open. Mike Holmes is here for it's House Smarts Radio. By the way, you can find Mike's website, creativecarpentry.net. It's 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Mike and his wife, L.A., are here. Here's a question for you. A text message. How often do I need to add blown insulation to our attic. Our house is 15 years old.
Depending. Now, the norm in our area is going to be an R38, so you're looking at about 13, 14 inches worth of insulation.
Okay.
Okay. But recommended is going to be more like R49, so maybe 14 to 16 inches.
It's like you're speaking French to me.
Inches.
Like, I know what R49 is.
Well,
your wife, LA, is shaking her head. Like, yeah, I know what it means. Pete has no idea what you're talking about.
I'm weird. Yeah. It's just the rating, the insulation value.
Okay.
38 is required.
All right.
So when you have blown-in insulation, you're talking about 13 inches, let's say, of blown-in insulation.
All right.
But now they're saying it should be more like R49. So you're going from 38 to 49. So at that point, maybe anywhere from the 14 to 18 inches.
Okay.
And the more you have, basically, the better. I mean, you can just have too much, obviously, but that's where you lose all your heat, really, between your windows and your attic. That's it.
Right, yeah.
You know, so
why not load it up?
Yeah, and heat rises, so you want to keep that as insulated as you can. So measure from your drywall of your ceiling, of your top floor,
okay,
up, and you should have at least 13 inches. If you don't, I would recommend you have some more put in.
Got it. Okay. Tom in Chicago. Tom, thanks for holding. You're on with Mike Holmes. What's your question?
Yeah, I have, a garage. The water comes in at the base of the cement foundation. Is there anything I could spray or roll on from the outside or inside that will prevent the water coming into the garage that seeps through like the cement?
I'm not exactly sure. You're saying your garage is like at your basement level?
Is that... No, it's an unattached garage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but at the base, where the cement foundation is in the sidewall.
Okay.
Water comes through.
Is it seeping up between that little curb and the flat part of your floor? Okay.
Yeah.
They have butyl caulk is probably what I would recommend. It's a very elastic caulk. Can stretch like 800%. It's butyl caulk. I would try that. Just put that around the perimeter if it's seeping through the crack. Okay. That would be my first thing. You can seal the concrete, but the problem with that is you're really just sealing it basically on the top level. And if it's saturated and it's soaking up through the slab, it's not going to really do much there.
Okay, could you spell that? Because I couldn't make it out.
Probably B-U-T-Y-L.
You're right.
B-U-T-Y-L.
Yeah. That's why I bring her, folks.
I can
spell. She knows her stuff.
Yes.
Okay, I appreciate that, then. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, bye now.
Thanks, buddy. All right, let's go to Jack from Elgin. Jack, you've been on hold a while. Thank you for holding. What's your question?
Well, I got a real dilemma. It took me a long time to get a contractor over here to stain and reseal my stamped patio.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite old and it bleached out. And I'm going to say, as I woke up this morning, 80% of it is beautiful, shiny, and back to the dark color. 20% looks like... it's almost white. It's like the stain didn't take or the sealer didn't take. I'm wondering if they trapped water under there or something.
My guess is it's the sealer. Because it sounds, because you're saying it's like cloudy.
Yes, yeah. Very cloudy.
Yeah, my guess is that it's the sealer. I would call the contractor back and have him take a look at it. I mean, he knows his products and he may be able to tell you something different. But my guess is it's a sealer, and they might have to strip that off. But definitely call your contractor back. Give him the chance to take a look at it and see what he thinks.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, it's a mess. They worked hard, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and you like it to be beautiful, I understand.
Of course. You don't want 80%, John. You want 100%.
Yeah, things happen, and you can't really say it's the contractor's fault. At this point, we don't know.
Right.
But I always say give him the chance to correct the problem and make it right and go that route first.
All right, Jack?
Well, okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Nice listening to you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Mike Holmes is here. CreativeCarpentry.net is his his website. Time to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Have a broken faucet, an old faucet, or just plain ugly faucet that needs replacing? Here's your chance to update your kitchen or bath with premier brand quality faucets from Growy, American Standard, or Pfister. Tom snagged a bulk buy on these popular brands. A new faucet can make such a difference. Trust me, there's limited quantities, so these won't last long. Get in soon and have first pick from this amazing selection of high-end faucets at bargain prices while they last. Another reason to always see what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
The grass is always greener on the other side. Neighbors got a new car that you want to drive. And the time is running out, you want to stay alive.
It is House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini is on vacation. I'm Pete McMurray in Flu. Mike Holmes is here, owner of CreativeCarpentry.net, and his wife, L.A., is here, who's showing me pictures. She does a lot of work for you. I hope you're paying her well.
Glamorous work.
Yes. Yeah. Showed me during commercials a picture of L.A. in a hazmat suit. What was that for? A basement, right?
A client, he had a possum get into his basement.
Okay.
She made a nest and fell through the suspended ceiling, and just that it was all contaminated.
Oh, is that the worst
material. We had to dig all that stuff out. It was nasty,
and I got to help. Yes. And yes, I got to wear a hazmat suit.
That's nice. Yeah, that's true love right there.
Thank you, Ed and Chick.
It's true love right there. I'm holding up my cell phone because this guy is on speed dial. We're going to talk lawns right now from Tommy Polina Landscape Services. It's Joe Polina. Joe, how are you, buddy?
I'm well, Pete. How are you?
I text you probably twice a week. Is that right?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah, sometimes more, depending on how much you panic.
He's a pain, isn't he?
My lawn, I've said this before, is the size. Everybody just picture your master bath in your head. That's the size of my front lawn. I live in the city, and I'm obsessed with growing grass. I just want grass. That's
all. I see you out there grooming it with little tweezers.
Yes, that's me. I'm that guy. But, Joe, I sent him a picture about a month ago, and you're like, you need nitrogen. Well, I didn't know that. I had no idea that you need nitrogen in your fertilizer, right, Joe?
Well, yeah, because this picture you sent me had a couple of yellow spots in it. And from the picture, I saw usually when the lawn turns yellow, it's a lack of nitrogen, and it could be due because of a lot of overwatering, or in your case, not enough fertilizer.
Right, yeah. So what do we have to do? It's fall time. Things are changing over. What kind of fertilizer do people put on their lawns, and then do they have to aerate their lawns right now?
Well, that is a very loaded question, so let me start rambling on. So, first of all, contrary to popular belief, if you have thatch built up in your lawn, it is better to par rake in the fall than in the spring because you don't have any chance of breaking up the soil and getting crabgrass, number one. Number two, yes, core rake the lawn. The root system of Kentucky bluegrass travels better in the fall than it does the rest of the time of the year. By travel, I mean grows.
Okay.
And then once you get that out of the way, it relieves compaction and gets the fertilizer down to the root system, blah, 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 blah. You know, all the other good stuff that goes with it. And then, yeah, you definitely want to go ahead and fertilize the lawn with, everybody calls it differently, you know, winterizer. And there's a lot of school of thoughts into this. Some people think that the first number on the fertilizer, that's the nitrogen. Some people think that, you know, the higher the number is, that the nitrogen goes down to the root system. And then in the spring, you get this, you know, real thick lawn. I'm from the other school. I'm from the other school that says I'd rather build up the root system in the fall. So I'm looking for a fertilizer where the first number is somewhere around 18 to 23. Second one, you know, if you can get it, like a 10, and a third one about 10. We normally use a triple 10 or a triple 14 when we fertilize for the fall, so that it helps out the root system. Because, let's face it, Pete, in the spring, everything grows. Everything's green anyways. I don't need any more nitrogen. But
right.
I want to build up a nice thick lawn, because the thicker the root system is, the less weeds. The less weeds, the thicker the lawn.
Okay. And it doesn't matter what type of fertilizer you get, just get, you said 14, 14, 14, the numbers are right on the front, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if you can go ahead and get that, you know, that's ideal. You know, you probably won't find that in a big box store.
Okay.
You'll find that. Garden centers will carry it for sure. So you can get over to garden centers, triple 10. You could also, we also use the triple 10 or triple 14 to fertilize the shrubs.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's a slow release. So, you know, all you do is just put on a pair of gloves and just sprinkle around it. You have to worry about burning it in the fall. And the nitrogen content is not that much. Because the nitrogen is what burns your lawn. If you, you know, let's say, for example, you know, you get a bag of fertilizer and the first number is at, I don't know, let's say 27 or something, okay? And you put it on too heavy, you're going to burn that spot.
Right.
You know, whereas with the 10 or 14%, you don't have to worry about it. So it's so much easier to do it in the fall than it is in the spring anyways.
Do you water right after you put that down?
You can, you know, if you don't feel there's enough moisture in the soil. But right now, you know, there's enough moisture into the atmosphere, plus the rains we're supposed to have. Plus, most of the time, it's slow release anyways. Let's put it this way. If you water it, great. If you don't water it, it's not going to hurt anything. It's not like you're dealing like in the middle of August where you say, gee, I just put on a third application. You know, please water. You know, and then that's when you have to worry about it.
Okay, we're talking to Joe Polina. What about bushes? We have these small bushes on our deck. Do you take those down? Do you have to wrap them in something, or what do you do? Because most of the time, my wife's like, oh, they're going to die anyway. I'm like, let's try to get them through winter this year. Save some money.
On top of the deck, they're probably going to go bye-bye anyway.
Dude, come on, Joe.
In the flower pot, is that what you have?
Yes.
Well, yeah, they're probably going to go unless you have a flower pot that's insulated and would drain it. Yeah,
every year we buy new bushes. We have a huge deck, so I'm talking six here. That's a lot of money.
Oh, no, that's terrible. Just bushes.
Bring them in the house.
Watering right now, because we've had you on before and you said twice a week, water your lawn on Wednesdays and Sundays. That was my thing. How long do I water my lawn right now? It was for 30 or 45 minutes in the fall. Do you bring that back to maybe 15 minutes?
Yeah, so, you know, the numbers I gave you, Pete, was based on, you know, the temperatures being somewhere in the 80s.
Right.
And so on and so forth. You know, obviously, as the temperature goes down, we need to tone it down. And with the rain we're supposed to get this weekend, you know, Tommy Skilling's predicting 2 inches over the weekend.
That's really?
That's plenty to keep your lawn watered for a minimum 2 weeks. So I always tell my customers, you know, if you must water, fine, go ahead and water. But ideally, you know, just see it when the grass is not bouncing back and then water. So, yes, answer your question is cut back on the watering. You know, once a week this time of the season is sufficient, you know, if not too much.
You're the best, man. Thank you so much. What's your phone number so people can get a hold of you?
847-698-6868. They could also get a hold of us at info@TommyPolina.com.
I have one more question for you.
Yes.
When it comes to cutting your grass, the clippings, leave them or bag them?
Leave them. It adds 4% more nitrogen, and you're helping the economy, the ecology.
I disagree. I'd like to bag them.
Yeah, because you're one of those that's got to be picture perfect,
yes,
doesn't it?
I am the bagging guy. Right. And by the way,
we're gonna have to have a talk, Pete.
I mow my neighbor's lawn. That's how much I enjoy cutting grass. Granted, it takes me 11 minutes to cut my lawn.
If you don't, though, your grass looks so much better then.
You're right. Yes. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Have a good day.
That is Joe Polina from Tommy Polina Landscaping. He is the best. I'm serious.
Good. He knows his stuff.
He does.
Really does.
And I got his number from Lou.
Yeah.
It's always a mistake when Lou gives me somebody. Now I have your number, Mike. I'm going to call you all the time. But seriously, I text him all the time.
I like that he's just honest with the way he does it, too.
He is. Don't waste your money. Your bushes are going to die. Don't wrap them.
This is what I do.
Stupid. Yes, definitely so. 312-981-7200. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll take some more calls. Mike Holmes is here. It is House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Mike Holmes is here. Pete McMurray in for Lou Manfredine.
You're tuned in to House Smarts Radio right here on 720 WGN.
Thank you, Linz.
Hey, you're welcome.
I keep stepping over you this morning.
No.
Yes. Uh-huh. Sorry, let me turn on everybody's microphone. I was doing so well earlier. Yes. No.
You thought.
No.
I did. I did think. Mike is here. He's our expert. Ricky in Chicago. Ricky, what's your question for Mike?
Hi. Okay, to control basement humidity and mustiness, what would you recommend between a dehumidifier installed by PermaSeal or a wave system?
What is a wave
system?
I'm
not familiar with the wave system.
Oh, they advertise on GN. I can't explain it really well, but it does more than dehumidify. And it's vented to the outside and purifies the air. I don't know.
Okay, it sounds like a more of a filtration type system.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure what the cost difference is, because that's something you'd want to weigh into it. I can say that I've worked with PermaSeal for decades, and they're a great company. They've been very good with all the projects that we've done. But I couldn't really advise you totally on that, because I'm not familiar with the second one.
Okay, thanks anyway.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling, but I'm sorry I couldn't help.
All right, thank you, Ricky. Let's go to John in McHenry. John, what's your question for Mike Holmes?
My question is, I have recently remodeled a 1950s house where the 60-amp fuse box was replaced with a 200-amp breaker box. Mm-hmm. From there, I'm going to call it a wire, but it's an exposed piece of copper that's maybe a quarter inch thick that's been brought over and attached to some galvanized pipe that was part of a code for some other remodeling. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that when I re-insulated the garage ceiling, and I haven't put drywall up there yet because we're going to do some more work in there, but some orange goo was dripping down from the insulation, and I thought, oh, perhaps something died upstairs, you know. And I pulled the insulation down, and where the insulation was touching this particular section between the floor joist of this ground wire, it was melting the insulation. And I don't know, maybe lightning struck and it actually did its job, or I really don't know. So I'm just kind of curious why that would be melting insulation where it's touching.
That is very odd. I've never heard of that happening, but you're right. It could have been a strike in the area, and it just kind of diffused into your house a little bit. But the thing that I would really recommend is call an electrician right away and have them take a look at it, just to make sure that there's nothing with the panel that it's shorting into the ground where it shouldn't be.
All right. Sounds like a fire waiting to happen.
Especially because you haven't put the drywall up. Now's the time. Call an electrician, have them take a quick peek at it.
All right, we'll do.
Thanks, John. Thank you very much. All right, let's go to Barry. Barry, thanks for holding. You're on with Mike Holmes. What's your question?
We came home over the weekend from vacation and found a little bit of water pooled in both sides of our kitchen sink. I ran the water on the disposal side. It shot up on the other side. I ran the disposal, and dirty water popped up on the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. I took both of the traps off. They were clean. In fact, one of the chrome ones was kind of falling apart. So I went out, replaced all the traps. The only snake I have is the one that goes for the toilet bowl. So I tried snaking it from the inside of, under the cabinet to the wall as far as it goes. I can't find anything that's clogging it. Is it possible that the disposal is causing that, even the water goes through the disposal?
Well, first of all, you're saying you had water in both bowls, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And when you took those traps off, they were both clean?
Yes, they were both clean.
Okay. But when you took them out, they were both filled, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you fill it, after you put those back in, you fill the sink back up, do you still see the same problem?
Yes. The water, okay. If I'm pouring water on the right side, it'll start coming up on the left side sink.
Well, obviously, there's some kind of obstruction between these traps and the city, you know, when your waistline goes out. And if it's only on the sink that you're noticing it, it's going to be between those traps and where that sink drain ties into the main drain line. But you have some sort of clog there. When you turn on your disposal, it's pumping water down the drain. It's forcing it down the drain. That's why it's kicking up on the other side, because there's nowhere else for it to go.
It sounds like a major job here.
Well, it depending on how far that line from his kitchen sinks to the main waistline is,
okay,
he may need to rod out further down than what his rodder's capable of doing. Does that make sense?
That's what we're trying to. I was just hoping I didn't have to take the disposal off, thinking
I don't think it's a disposal. The disposal's doing. That's a normal reaction if there's a drain. You put on your garbage disposal, pump it up the other side. I don't think it's your disposal. It's the drain. You've got a clog there someplace. Right. Now, if it goes down slowly, if you fill up the bowls and they eventually drain down, it's not a complete clog, but there's some kind of obstruction in there.
All right, Barry, got to run. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Wow, you're good. Yeah. I mean, just to visualize.
Out of three, I only answered one there. So
I know, but
my rating just
to
went
visualize
down.
Pipes and clogged pipes, it's just, that's hard, man. I don't know how you guys do it. That's rough stuff. Mike Holmes is here. His website is creativecarpentry.net. He's our expert. It is House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
Just after 9 o'clock, Pete McMurray in for Lou Manfredini at his House Smarts Radio. Mike Holmes is here. He's our expert. CreativeCarpentry.net is his website. And this hour of House Smarts Radio is brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems, also sponsored by Design First Builders, and of course, Ace Hardware. Ready to bang through some calls?
Let's bang.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. We have one line open if you want to get in. Let's go to Marianne in Niles. Marianne, what's your question for Mike?
Yes, my daughter has a house in Wheeling, and it was built in the 60s, and she's had a lot of plumbing issues. And when the plumber was out, her sump pump was running constantly, and they found that the pipe had dropped, the old clay pipe. So they went in, and they dug out part of the driveway and put in a new pipe. And that was about 2-3 months ago. Once again, the sump pump is running constantly. I know with the rain and everything, they said that the water table was high. But when they put the camera in this time, they discovered another little, not really a break or anything, but they just the start of some tree roots down further in the driveway. Mm-hmm. But they're saying that the sump pump really shouldn't be going into the sewer line.
No, most municipalities don't allow that.
Okay, well, that's the thing. So then they said they could either put it, you know, out through the driveway again, redigging up the driveway, which would be another, you know, big job. We haven't had the driveway redone yet, but and put a pit in or something like that, which would be about $4,000. Or they said they could reroute the sub pump up through the in the basement. She's got a finished basement, but they could put it up along the.
Above the ceiling.
And then we could just put a soffit around it.
Right.
And have it going out in the backyard, and then they would put a pipe out there that would just drain out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound...
Well, yeah.
I mean, that would be about half the cost.
Yeah, typically municipalities don't want that water coming into the sewer system. In most cases, the second choice would be what I would recommend, not seeing the whole project.
Yeah.
But that's the norm. Your sump pump would eject into your yard. You just want to make sure it ejects far enough away from your foundation so it's not just coming right back in. So yeah,
right.
If they're going to put a drain and maybe like a pop-up drain in the middle of the yard so that it exits in the middle of the yard, that's fine. Yeah.
Now, do they have to dig out in the yard also for this, or do they just leave this?
Only if they're going to bring it further away from the house. 90% of the homes you see, there's a PVC pipe comes out the side of the house, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will add a little tube onto it to take it a little further away from the house.
Right. That's what he was recommending.
Okay. Yeah. Some companies will dig a little trough in the yard, and they'll put a drain. So it comes out of the house. There's a little air gap, then it goes back into a drain that's buried in the yard, and it'll have a little pop up. Drain cap, and when the water exits, it lifts the cap, and the water exits in your further away from your house in your yard. And then when the water stops, the cap drops back down so it's flat.
Okay, so do you think that would eliminate the problem of her sub pump going off all the time? I mean, right now it's going off. I mean, she hasn't had any water out by her in the past, you know, week or so. But the guy was saying, or the plumber was saying, that the, you know, water table could be coming from, you know, 2-3 miles away.
Yes.
And, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Would this eliminate the sub pump going off all the time, do you think?
It's hard to say. If the water table is directly under the slab of the foundation, it probably won't. But you should have a backup pump, because it sounds like there's always water there.
She does have a battery backup pump.
If you take the cap off of this pit and you see the water, if you turn off your sump pump and the water level comes up really high and kind of holds there, that's where the water table is. If that pump's running constantly because the water could come even higher, then you need to do something about that. Maybe even put in a bigger pump to keep up with it so it's not fighting so much.
Okay.
All right, Mary
Ann. But as for those two options, I would go with the less expensive if she's okay with it coming through her ceiling.
That's what we were thinking. And, you know, like I said, this was happened, you know, yesterday. And, you know, she just paid the, you know, money to have the driveway or to have it dug up. And now we got to have it re-asphalt and that. And I thought, well, before she does that, let's decide what are we going to do here now.
Go the cheaper version.
Yeah. It never hurts to get a second opinion, too.
Yeah. So. Thanks, Marianne. Got to run. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, also our text line. Got a text. Mike, I have rotted. Is this fascia board? Excuse me. Fascia board on house built in 1884. What's the best wood to replace it?
Well, it being a historic home, there might be some issues there. But I would go with either something natural like cedar. That's going to be a little more decay-free. Or you can go into some of the composites now.
Okay.
So, composites, it's not going to ever rot on you.
847 area code, I have an invasion of stink bugs. Any idea how to get rid of them?
No, because I don't know a lot about the stink bugs.
Yeah, get Joe Polina on again.
Yeah, there, he might be the guy.
Viv in Deerfield. Viv, what's your question for Mike?
Hi. Yeah, we have a cottage up in Wisconsin, and in one of the rooms, which is about, I guess it's about a 10 by 10 or 11 by 11, there is a trap door to go down to the crawl space, which we need to have to check every once in a while down there. But the people who had it before us, they pulled up the floor, and it's just a subfloor there, and we've kept it like that, kind of like the look of the wide wood, and I painted it white, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it lets the air from the crawl space come up. I want to put down a floor. Should I go with a, I'm thinking of a luxury vinyl, or should I go with a laminate? I love the look of laminate, so I like the real wood look.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, that trap door, we have to maybe glue it down, you know, for the trap door, which I then cover with a rug anyway.
Right.
But is vinyl going to be heavier than the laminate? I'm just not sure what to do.
In most cases, the vinyl is going to be heavier. The plus to the vinyl is that it is pretty durable. It can handle moisture. Both of those products would work well. And if you're gluing down, even if it's considered a floating floor, if you're just gluing down the section on the hatch, it's not a big deal.
Sounds like Viv is in a windstorm.
Yes, yeah.
Viv, you got it?
Yeah, are you in the crawl space? Do we need to call help?
Does that help, Viv?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and will all those, do I need to put another underlayment, or do they have an underlayment with those products already?
Those products typically require some sort of underlayment. Some of them are very thin foam. Some of them are just a plastic type of thing. But I recommend you use what they suggest, because then the warranty will hold. If you use something else,
okay,
they'll say, well, we can't
warrant
it.
I have one more thing to say to Mike, and that is I just saw you on Corner Gas.
On Corner,
are you on there?
Corner Gas program.
No, you're thinking
talking
of the
about
other
the
Mike
guy
Holmes.
With the overalls, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been around longer than him.
Yes, and you're much nicer than him,
and
by
better
the way.
Looking.
And better looking.
That's Mike's wife, L.A., saying that.
My whole
yes.
fanfare over here. Yeah.
Thank you, Viv. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, you're on with Mike Holmes. What's your question?
I have to put a new patio window in, and I had my windows replaced. I live in a condo, and I'm on the first floor. This window is 43 years old, and I know nothing about patio windows, and I'm getting all sorts of different things like, why don't you, I get the sun all afternoon. Mm-hmm. I have a vertical blind, and I also have a plastic shade. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of being in the dark and in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you say patio, is this a heated area, or is this just like a screened-in porch?
Now we have an echo. Have you noticed that?
No, this is a patio.
Okay. What I would say, now, insulated glass is going to help. It's not really required, but it can help because you can put the UV, it'll help with the UVs, UV rays. Okay.
Okay.
As for, you're saying it's either very sunny or it's very dark because you got to close off. Is that your
problem?
Well,
right, because I get this, right now in the morning, I don't get the sun. Mm-hmm. I'm in our condo. My condo is in a circle. Mm-hmm. I'm at the end of the circle.
Okay.
My unit. And I get the sun goes in the morning to the other side. In the afternoon, 2, 3, whatever, mm-hmm. I get all the sun come in.
Yeah.
And I had my furnace replaced a few years ago. This room is so cold in the wintertime. And my sister said, well, you got a new furnace. What's that got to do? She said, you're freezing in the living room.
Yeah. Well, if and I'm not sure your question here, but if your question is the fact that it gets too warm in the afternoon because of the sun, but you don't like to close all the blinds, is that correct?
No, it's the sun. It's cold in the wintertime. It's cold in the wintertime because there's the heat, you know, because the window is so old. It's
okay.
43 years old.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, insulated glass is going to help you. You probably have single pane glass.
Right.
So,
do I need to know anything about the locking? You know what I mean? I'm on the first floor. And
the glass, you'd be replacing the window either way. So my suggestion is replace it, upgrade your windows to an insulated glass, and you want to have it have some UV protection in there. That's really what you're looking to do. That will help control that temperature, and you're going to have a more energy efficient window now than you did back then. The weather stripping and everything else is going to be much better.
Here's one question, because I have vinyls and I had to get them painted brown when I bought the windows because we cannot have and so what do you do when you know, do most of these companies, I mean, you know, I'm gonna, they're white vinyls and I need them brown.
Vinyl has changed drastically through the years. They used to only do white because they did dark colors and the vinyl would deteriorate and it would misshape because of the heat. Now you can get the vinyls in all kinds of colors. It's done totally different. They're much more efficient now.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Kathy.
Will be much better.
Appreciate your call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Mike Holmes is here. You're
I wasn't sure where
you're earning
your
money today.
Like,
yes, yeah, you are. But okay. You know, people have questions, and you're the guy. 312-981-7200, our phone line, also our text line at 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Lou Manfredini. It is House Smarts Radio. Our expert is, his name is Mike Holmes. He's sitting to my right and walking out of the studio. She's, I love that we go right on the air.
It's L.A. It's not me. It's L.A.
Uh-huh.
She wanted her coffee warmed up to
look
warm
at you.
Her hands.
Look at you. Being nice.
Yeah. Happy creative, life. Happy life.
CreativeCarpentry.net is his website. 312-981-7200 is our phone number if you have a question for Mike. I just moved into my new home. This is 312 area code. Just moved into my new home. There is excess moisture, 55-inch main floor and 75 in the basement. There is no obvious water in the basement. Who should I call? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either.
55 in main floor, 75 in the basement.
55 what?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not sure where they're going with that.
Okay.
But no water in the basement.
Right.
Yeah.
Glad I read that.
Okay.
Got a proofread, Pete.
See, I could have gone warmed up a coffee.
55 humidity?
I don't know what that means. I don't know. I'll 312. I'll respond to them in a second. Annette from Orland Park, you're on with Mike. What's your question?
All right. I don't know if you folks can help me with this, but I have a car that I leased in March or April. And in driving across recently and driving on the highway, somewhere I picked up wet paint from the striping, the gold striping.
Okay.
And there's flecks of gold paint on my car.
Mm-hmm.
Any ideas?
Not
all over, just it's pretty much under the window well in the on the driver's side, obviously, and on the lower part of that bottom panel. Not a lot, yeah. But I don't want to mess with it and screw it up.
My guess would be to try something like Goof Off Goof Off.
Really?
I've tried
okay.
that first because I don't think that's going to do anything to the car finish. It's not.
Yeah,
car finishes are a little different. That's not what we normally deal with. But
right.
I would try the Goof Off first and just do it in, you know, bottom where nobody's going to see it. Try a little bit and see how it responds.
Okay. Okay.
It's a different type of paint, so I can't give you a lot of info on that. But if that doesn't work, try a body shop. Just call them up and ask them because I'm sure they run across it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I went online, and of course you get
You get all kinds of compost.
Watch it on YouTube.
Baking soda and some vinegar and a little yard waste. Yeah, some weird concoction. But I would try a goof off first. That, it's
What'd
strong
you call me?
But mild.
All right. Annette, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. House Smarts Radio, answering automotive questions. I love it. Yeah. That's great.
That and frogs. Cover it all.
We have another text message. 224, Mike, I have a brick paver patio. Answer digging up the packing sand in between the bricks. We notice mounds of sand on top of the patio. Do you think the structural integrity of the patio is being compromised, and how do we get rid of them?
Well, this is a big issue I found.
Really?
Yeah. We have clients that have, you know, they'll add these pavers after the fact.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of homes will have that concrete stoop up to their sliding glass door, and these paving companies will put pavers right up on top of it. They bond it to the concrete, and then they pack that sand in between. Well, they're putting sand, which holds moisture. Ants love that. And then they're putting it right up to the people's homes, which if they have wood siding, it's ant heaven.
Oh, my gosh.
I've actually had where I've taken these bricks out, and I could take my hand and push it through the house into their basement. Geez. The wood's so rotted.
Wow.
So it is an issue. Make sure that those pavers are never up against wood like that. That's number one. There are some newer sand products out there that stop the ant problem. I don't know the name of it, but I know they've come up with some new additives that they put into it. The integrity is not going to be such a problem, I mean, unless it really gets out of hand. But I would just spray occasionally. That'll keep it under control. But the ants are going to be there. It's sand. It's moist. They love it. So it's pretty hard to not have them.
This is how he talked me into a composite deck. Yeah.
Really?
Instead of a paver patio. Yeah.
I like pavers. They're great, but there's limitations to every product.
I had an ant problem in the spring, and Lou told me to buy this. I can't even remember the name of it, but it's like a gel. Okay. And the ants take it back to the main...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's home or whatever. What's it called?
Taro. The Taro ant baits.
Is that it? Yeah. The gel stuff?
There's different forms of it.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a typical thing. It's like they think of it as a food source, but it's a poison. Right. They bring it back and
they take it back to the mothership and everybody dies.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. That's how it works. So,
but the big thing is that stuff up against the house. I've seen such damage caused by it. It's incredible.
All right. Let's get Sylvia in. Sylvia, what's your question for Mike?
Hi, I have a townhome, and our front door faces south, and there is a side light to it, and there's one board that over the last 11 years, it keeps oozing sap. My husband has sanded it, repainted it, he used kills on it, and it still keeps oozing the sap, and it's in the same spot, and it looks like glue running down the door, or this board.
Can we change the board?
That's what we're thinking we're going to have to do.
When you say board, you're talking about deck material. We got an echo going here.
We do. It's line two has the echo, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Is it a deck board you're talking about?
No, it's a
floor on the floor?
It's to the right of our front door.
Part of the door frame?
There's like a side light.
Okay, but part of the door frame?
Yes.
Okay. That's unusual when it's on the door frame, but sometimes it's a core and it's just part of the wood.
Right.
And it usually stops. I haven't seen, we'll run across it and we do the same thing. We'll scrape it down. We use kills. I usually do a couple coats on that. But if you're getting a lot of heat, it's probably expanding and pushing it out. But usually it stops after a while.
Can she switch it out? Change it?
No, it's the door frame.
Okay, you can't do that.
Not necessarily a board like you can remove.
You're the contractor, man. You can do anything.
We have done that.
We've asked our homeowners association about it, and they said since we're the only ones with the problem, it's our problem.
Oh.
The only other thing I can even think about, and it's just off the top of my head, is if you were to cut a line right where that's at, like with a saw, do like a kerf cut, meaning just like a groove in there, to try to cut it out, because it's a sap line. Is what she's getting. And if you can cut that out and then put a wood fill, like a two-part wood fill, so it's exterior grade, and then sand it down, paint it. That would be my other thing.
Good luck, Sylvia.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
I love when you stare at me like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I have no idea.
You know, it's
he's doing the hand gestures. You're like, Pete, you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, yeah.
You got the same look as L.A. when
right.
I'm talking.
Yeah, just a blank anything. Stare yeah. like, okay.
I thought maybe I'd get a little better response from you.
Well, in Chicago, everybody's got a guy. I'm going to call my guy to do it. Definitely so. Friends is celebrating 25 years. It went on the air 25 years ago this week, and we'll have one of the cast members who is in Chicago this weekend. They are transforming downtown. It's going to be a Friends theme if you're coming downtown this weekend in Chicago. We'll have a cast member coming in after news after this. It's 720 WGN.
What does Rachel see in this guy? I love Rachel. I wish she was my wife.
WGN this weekend in Chicago. We are celebrating the Friends 25th anniversary with citywide activities to celebrate. Maggie Daly Park will be called Maggie Daly Perk this weekend. Skydeck Chicago is having events and much, much more. Our next guest played Gunther on Friends, and you can meet him today. It's James Michael Tyler. It's great to see you.
Hey, hey. What's going on, guys?
You look good on the Today Show yesterday.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm wearing the same jacket, but you can't see it on radio.
But there's significance about the jacket, right? Isn't there something with that jacket?
Well, actually, I wore this on the very first episode of the first season. And I don't have the tie on today, but I did have the first tie that I wore on the first episode.
Okay.
The last episode.
Okay.
So, yes.
You had it all signed, if I recall, too.
It's my actual jacket right here.
Yeah, but the tie was signed.
The tie was signed by all the cast members.
I'm just going from what I saw on today's show.
So. Yeah, yeah. It was signed by all the cast members.
Yeah, that was cool.
It's interesting that when you look back at Friends in the 90s, how big our clothes were.
Mm-hmm.
What were we doing?
Well, I'd stand up for you right here because
that
this jacket.
That thing is huge.
It is. It's like, who was it, David Byrne, the Talking Heads jacket?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
The big suit, but
it really
it's
is.
Yeah.
Do you get people saying, "Wow, you've really changed"? And you're like, "It's been 25 years. What do you want?"
Well, normally they're just like, "Who are you?" And then they hear me speak, and they're like, "I know your voice, but you know, you look different." I'm like, "Yeah, it has been a long time.
Right?
I have the beard now. I don't have the white hair."
Yeah, let's talk about the white hair back in the day.
Yeah, I came on to the first episode, first season, the night before a friend of mine. This was pure chance, and he said, "Hey, I want to practice being a stylist. Can I bleach your hair?" I'm like, sure, practice on me. So I went into that first episode as an extra with the white hair, and the producers loved it, and they kept bringing me back.
Right.
And I had to bleach my hair every week, or every 2 weeks for 10 years. Because it was part of the character at that
it's
point.
Brutal.
So I could not undo it.
Mm-hmm.
But when the show ended, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be that actor guy who's like, you know, don't you remember me from Friends? I'm going to walk around. I was Gunther, and I just didn't do it. So,
right.
Can I ask a quick question? Over here?
By the way, Lindsay, over-the-top Friends fan, right over there,
that's
through the glass.
Mimi!
I mean, just crazy about Friends.
So well, how did so you went as
oh,
in
you
as
an,
I'm over here.
Hey,
you went you in as an extra, and how did, I mean, obviously you said you had the hair, but I mean, not many extras all of a sudden get a recurring role like this. So how did it I read somewhere that maybe it was because you knew how to work the coffee machine.
Oh, yeah. Is that true? Oh,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, it was. I was the only extra that actually knew how to operate a cappuccino machine or an espresso machine. But I was working in a coffee shop in Los Angeles called the Bourgeois Pig. And I had a Master of Fine Arts in acting, so I'd been in L.A. for a few years. But, you know, that means you're an out-of-work actor, basically, and you're going to be a server. But, yeah, the second AD called me in and put me behind the, you know, the coffee bar
wow,
there in Central
that's
Perk.
Awesome.
And I never made an actual real coffee the entire 10-year run of the show. Basically, those were empty cups, and I was miming everything.
You're
so
kidding.
I did not make
really?
An actual espresso or cappuccino. Yeah.
How great was it doing Friends? Now you look back and it's like, wow, what a great show. But at the time, did you know that it was something special?
You know, I knew it was really a great show once it was coming back for the second season, because when I started, they said, hey, you know, there's this show. We want you to have you on as background performer. It might go for 6 episodes. I think that's what they were picked up for initially.
You're kidding.
Yeah. And they kept it. They renewed it. But I didn't know that until about a week before I came in for the second season. And the second AD called me, or actually I called him because I didn't know if I was going to have a job. that was giving me about $45 extra a week at the time. But I needed that, you know, and I needed a free meal from Craft Service. So I called him about a week before I thought the show might be coming back. And I said, hey, is that show removed? I mean, renewed? Is Friends renewed? Do you guys want the coffee guy back? And he said, oh, yeah, it's coming back because it was number one, like, over the summer. And we have a much bigger soundstage now, and you're going to have better craft service. It's not going to just be kind of like nasty hot dogs.
That's when you know it's big.
Yeah.
They bring in the good food.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was must. So did you start out on Thursday night, must-see TV on NBC, or was it Tuesday?
No, I think it was always Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, because I believe it was, I think it was Mad About You was first.
Yeah, that's right. Paul Reiser. Right, he was just here at the station not too long ago. Yeah. That Thursday night lineup was...
Yeah, fantastic. We had the 8:30 slot, I believe, to begin with, and I think it might have gone to 9 o'clock at one point as the 10 years went on.
Right.
I can't remember what season that happened, but yeah, that was like one of the anchors of that whole must-see TV line,
right?
Yeah.
And ER.
Yep.
Man, that was a great Thursday night lineup.
Exactly. Another show on our age, guys.
How did they decide to give that you were going to have the crush on Rachel?
You know that. I believe that came from the writers. I wasn't aware of that until they established that Gunther had the crush. They kind of used my character basically as the guy who just had, like, say, the throwaway, the blow to the scene, you know, who just like had the last little line, and it was like something weird or quirky or odd.
Yes. I got to say one thing. I'm kind of casual around the house when nobody's around, and I get your famous line.
I quote
all
you
the time.
I quote you at home all the time. Yes. I have for years.
Yes.
Yeah. And what is that quote?
Put the mouse back in the house.
Yes. Absolutely. I could say that for you in the Gunther voice if you like.
Would you?
As a ringtone.
That's amazing.
You want to do it?
Like, you have such a great radio voice, by the way.
Why, thanks. Are you guys hiring?
Well, we'll see. We have a new company that just bought us. 8:30 p.m. tomorrow is the exact 25th anniversary of the show.
Yes, it is. And you know what they're doing around the world? I mean, I didn't really realize this until this morning, but I've been told that they're going to light up major buildings around the world in the colors of Friends.
Right.
Like the, you know, the, what do they call it? The FRINDS at the beginning of the show.
Okay. Yep.
It's stunning, and it's humbling, and it's really, it's just mind-blowing.
It shows the impact.
It really does, which I'm still kind of on the outside of, as being so close to it, but going on this kind of tour that I'm doing for the 25th anniversary, it's astounding, and it's humbling. It's really humbling. And it's like three generations of fans now.
Sure.
I met this lady the other day who's like, she brought her daughter to the pop-up that we were doing in New York. And she said, hey, this was my grandmother's favorite show. It was my mother's favorite show. It was my favorite show. And now it's my daughter's favorite show.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're a part of history.
I guess so, for better or worse.
Let's hope the fashion doesn't come back, though, guys.
Yeah, okay? I promise never to wear this again.
James Michael Tyler is here. He's going to be you're going to be running all over Chicago. Do they move the couch, or do they have different couches? But because the couch is going to be at Maggie Daly Park, which will be Maggie Daly Perk today. So people can go and take pictures.
Yeah, and the Rembrandts are going to play
today. The Rembrandts are playing
the theme song for Friends. They're going to be there. I think they have three performances throughout the day.
Yeah.
And you know what they're going to drag me out to do also? I get to throw out the first pitch at the Cubs game today, which is like, what else can top that?
Right.
Did you practice?
No, I'm way better without any practice.
Don't bounce it.
I won't.
I'm going to take a quick break, and Lindsay, who's the crazy Friends fan on the show, is going to come in here, and we're going to do a little Friends trivia.
That sounds awesome.
Okay.
All right.
It's 720 WGN.
I don't know if you heard about what happened between me and Phoebe the other day.
No.
Well, we kissed. I didn't initiate the kiss, but I also didn't stop it, and I've been feeling guilty.
Okay.
So, are we cool?
Okay.
You would understand.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Lou Manfredini. Mike Holmes is here, along with his wife, L.A., and James Michael Tyler, who played Gunther on Friends. How many years were you on? You were on from day one, right?
Yeah. I came on the first episode of the first season, not the pilot. Gunther was not in the pilot.
Okay.
Until the last episode, 10 years later.
Did you get a chance to meet the guest stars? I know you were only at Central Perk, but Tom Selleck, Brad Pitt, any of those big names?
Yeah, all of them.
I mean, you look at me and say, wow, that guy looks like Brad Pitt, and I appreciate that.
You know what?
Really nice.
I thought you actually were him when I entered the studio.
Uh-huh.
Suck up. Let's go.
Yes. You're going to be all over Chicago. People can take pictures with the couch at Maggie Daly Park today, Sky Deck Chicago. You're throwing out the first pitch at Wrigley.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
We need
a
win today, by the way, for the Cubs.
Okay.
This is a big game.
Here you go. Here's the mojo. You're going to win today. I just predicted it.
You got it with that tone his voice.
I predicted it. You're going to win today.
I don't know. Lindsay, are you ready to go with the trivia?
Ready.
She's very nervous about this. Okay. All right. Question number one. Let's see how much you know.
Oh, boy.
By the way, were you making $1 million an episode the final season?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Which of the girls did Joey mistakenly see in the shower? Was it Rachel, Monica, or Phoebe? Let's go to... Oh, all right, go ahead.
Nope. I'm zipping my mouth.
James, go ahead. Do you know?
I do.
All right.
He saw...
Linz?
Monica.
Monica?
Yep.
That is absolutely...
Wait, incorrect.
That is correct. Hold on, where's my...
What?
Where's my,
that's wrong?
That is correct.
Oh, it is?
It is Monica.
Wait, who did
one
you say
for me?
Saw?
Monica. Joey saw Monica in the shower.
Joey saw Monica. However, yes. Chandler saw someone else in the shower. Chandler saw Rachel. See?
All right.
Not in the
shower. It's a tie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What heirloom did Phoebe inherit? Was it a dollhouse, a fur coat?
The fur coat.
A chair or a puppy?
I'm sorry. Okay,
you were too good at this.
Is that right?
Yes.
That is correct. A fur coat. Mm-hmm. It
to
is
be
a fur
fair,
coat.
Lindsay wrote these questions.
I did not. Can I?
She has the answers in front of her.
Thank you, Joe. Are you sure about that?
Let's, fun.
What was Monica's apartment number?
Wow.
Monica's apartment number.
Apparently that changed, too. I think I've read something on the internet that said that they changed the apartment number. But.
The apartment number. Monica's apartment number. Linz?
Well, at first it was 5, and then it went to 20.
Oh.
So
oh
at least I was right about that part, right?
Wow.
Right?
I'll give it to him.
Now I'm just embarrassed.
It was 20.
Hmm.
Yeah. Her apartment number 20. Why did it change?
I don't know.
That
I have
no
idea.
Okay.
And did they like move in with
they put her on an upper
floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they.
No, it's the same apartment. They can't move the apartment.
Right. They didn't move the apartment.
I'm sorry. I wasn't a huge fan. Okay. I watched it.
Oh, thanks.
I was. Didn't they cohabitate at one point?
Yes, they did.
Switched.
They switched apartments.
They switched apartments.
Yeah.
Was one maybe in 5 and one was in 20?
Nope.
I don't know.
Nope.
It's getting way too confusing.
Yes, it is.
Wait, can I ask one question to James? This is like trivia for you because it kind of is in relation to things right now. The delicious cheesecake devoured by Chandler and Rachel was from, do you remember?
I do not remember. Yep.
Oh, she just wanted to hit the buzzer.
Yeah. Well, it was Mama's Little Bakery in Chicago.
Oh.
I was
well, you know,
to tie
that was,
it all together.
That was a very, very good choice.
I like that.
To get it. I need to have some of that while I'm here, too,
by the way. I was going to say, now I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too.
Right, yeah. Thank you for coming in.
Hey, thank you so
25
much.
25 years. It makes us all old, but it's, you know, it's nice to look back. Nostalgic. Yeah.
You know what? If the show had not been so popular and kept its popularity, I would not be here talking with you today, right? I'd be listening to you at home.
That is so true.
Yeah.
I mean, the power of cable.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And now you have Netflix. You can pull up anything on demand nowadays.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Is there any other TV, any kind of media that you're proceeding on with? That we can look for you?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I did a film, finished a film this past June. It's called The Gesture and the Word. I think that might be coming out as a short film in about a month. And I'm going to start on a horror film, which will be kind of fun. We start shooting in December. That's why I have to grow this beard. I'm kind of like, you don't know, and that would spoil it for you,
because you got
right?
the voice. It's like
that's good. Yeah, he's like a bad guy
he
voice.
He could be a villain kind
I like
of guy.
It.
Just
yes.
one last thing I have to say, though. I've been fooling all of you guys.
Because this is my real voice.
That's nice. James Michael Tyler played Gunther. He'll be all over Chicago. And by the way, the skyline will be in Friends colors tonight.
Yes.
In Chicago.
Yes.
Thank you for coming in. Get that pitch over home plate at Wrigley Field today.
I'll do it.
Put pressure in the guy, okay?
It's 720 great. WGN. All right. Lou will be back next Saturday. Mike Holmes, thanks for coming in, man.
No problem. I enjoy it. You know that.
L.A., thank you. His
Our
wife.
Pleasure.
By the way, you can check out Mike's website, creativecarpentry.net. You answered some great questions today.
Until next time.
Well, I just assume you're going to go to my house and start some work.
Well, that's yeah. not until we get
right.
to your house.
Yes. We're close friends now.
Nice meeting you guys.
You guys have a great weekend.
Take care.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Chicago Stories told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago.